Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, February 26, 2024, and it looks like Blog Talk Radio is working tonight. Apologies for last week. I had a good show lined up. Talking about what George Washington would do. Was Washington's birthday technically on February 11th, but there's a difference in the calendar, 22nd, and of course they celebrate President's Day on Monday. But my info showed that it was never officially changed to President's Day. So it was Washington's birthday, and before we get really going, I'll give you just one little bit of humor that was going to be mentioned last week, and I'll say it this week, and we can talk more about what Washington would do later if we want to. One of his quotes, "A sensible woman never be happy with a fool." A sensible woman can never be happy with a fool. This was George Washington, letter to Eleanor Parke Custis, March 21st, 1796. So he was a wise man in so many ways. So anyway, with that being said, let's go ahead and get started with a pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what it's supposed to be all about. And I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of, which is pretty much going to be an open mic night to talk about whatever, and feel free to join in. And I'm kind of thinking it might be a little bit slow because people are knowing what happened last week, but now the show is on Blog Talk Radio. Just a very, very quick update here. There is a Facebook page. If you do Facebook, would you please go to the Blog Talk Radio Facebook page and ask them what their problems are? They don't even give us a phone number to speak, and they don't send us updates or some kind of notification of what went wrong with their system, or to let us know it's back up and running, nothing. So I'm really disgusted with what they have become. I've been with Blog Talk Radio for many years, but they just don't have very good support, and when things go wrong, you're stuck here waiting for them to do something. Holding on, no clue what's going on. So anyway, please do that. And there's also a complaint board out there, too, that you can post information about Blog Talk Radio. But with all that being said, like I say, tonight's pretty much open mic night, but Karen's got a little bit of a timeline or time limitation, and she's going to give us a Florida update first. So I'm going to go to Karen and just talk about some of the insanity of what's happening, Florida elections. Ron DeSantis, he's digging his grave further and further if he doesn't put a halt to all this garbage going on with our elections. And just as a quick note, Karen may mention this as well. Did you know that in Florida, a debit card or a credit card is acceptable identification to vote? A credit card or a debit card can be used as identification to vote in the state of Florida. How insane is that? Well, that being said, let me go ahead and get Karen in here, and she will give us the rest of the update of the insanity in Florida for what she can do in a few minutes before she has to drop off. Hello, Karen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Sally. It's always a pleasure to be with everyone and to be able to spread the truth. Boy, could we use a good dose of it, especially with what's going on in our country. In any event, if people think that what's going on in Washington, D.C. is bad, then I suggest you turn your sights to Tallahassee, because even though we have a supermajority, which is what we are told all the time, it seems as though it's a supermajority of rhinos, not conservatives. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if there is a conservative in the Senate. Imagine that. And when we went through our election integrity laws we saw that there were many holds, such as Florida, did you know, does not check citizenship. They play a nice little game. And the game is, okay, we'll go to the SOE, Supervisor of Elections, and ask, do they check citizenship? And they will say, no, we send the paperwork to the Secretary of the State. And then we call the Secretary of State's office and say, do you check citizenship? And guess what they say? No, we rely on the SOE to do that. So nobody's checking citizenship. Also, you mentioned the debit card and the credit card. Where on the debit card and credit card does it say citizenship? So how is anybody being checked? It's not. The Florida Department of Motor Vehicles, that's another neat little trick. In the Department of Motor Vehicles, when you go and you fill out, get a new license or have to renew your license or make a change of anything, you're asked on a screen what party affiliation you have. Well, it's actually, it's nobody's business. So if you choose the line that says, I don't want to say what my party affiliation is, or other, or something like that, that's not a Republican or a Democrat, then you are immediately put in the no party affiliation pool. And then when you go to do your voting for your primary, because most people don't check, now I'm telling you all, you had better check and see what your party affiliation is listed on your application, because otherwise you will not be able to vote in the primary. And that has happened to multiple people. As a matter of fact, one of the representatives even told us that she got calls to her office from people saying, I want to vote for you, but I can't because I went to my SOE's office and I was told that I have no party affiliation. That's not true, but I missed the deadline to change it. So this is also another big mess. Florida is also mandated to use the machines to count the ballots. Imagine that. You have no choice. You cannot use paper ballots. We had a bill for that one, too, and that got ignored. Florida programs, the programs in the electronic equipment, has not been checked for at least 15 years. 15 years. I think there might be a few changes and a few upgrades. Imagine being able to hack a computer program from 15 years ago. And, of course, the last one is that the equipment is connected to the Internet, even though they tell you it's not. It is. And it's a wireless Internet. In most cases, it's called a MiFi. I asked when I was an election worker, what was a MiFi? And I got an answer of, oh, it's a wireless router. But don't worry, it's not connected to the Internet. Excuse me? How does that work? So we have a lot of problems, and we had a bill for each one of these problems. And guess what happened, Miss Sally? Not one of them was even addressed. And you know what we were told? It's an election year. We don't want to hurt anybody, and we don't want to do anything that's too controversial. Too controversial for whom? Too controversial for your donors? Too controversial for the lobbyists? Certainly not the citizens. And so our wonderful legislature did absolutely nothing, zero. However, last week I sent out an alert, as did many other people, and we said there are two bills that addressing election that we must get rid of. We must tell our legislators, do not pass these bills. Of course, these are the bills that they wanted to pass. And we were told, how did these bills get there? Well, it seems as though one of them was put out by a Democrat. And since he was a nice Democrat and sometimes voted with the Republicans, they gave him a pass and they were going to pass his bill. Now, what was his bill? His bill was, I believe, the one on ranked choice voting. And what does that mean? That means that if neither one of the candidates, let's say you have 8 or 10 candidates running for one office, obviously the one with the most votes should be the winner. But if it's not a plurality, they wanted to have a runoff election, which would be horrible, and especially horrible for the grassroots candidates. Remember Lisa Murkowski? That's how she won. She won because there was a runoff election. And what happens in a runoff election is all of the rhinos and lobbyists get together and they pool all of their money and send out lots of ads for the rhino incumbent usually. And the grassroots candidates who probably won would not get near that ballot because all the money is going to the rhino. So we, because we sent out alerts and we had many people calling and saying, do not pass that bill, I am very proud to say it did not pass. Now, yes. Another bill that we had was equally as devastating, and that one I can't really get a handle on at the moment because it's coming up that it was a word that I didn't quite get. So it looks like it passed the House, but it didn't pass the Congress. It didn't pass the Senate. So we need some more work on that one. We have to make sure. And that one is SB, hold on 1 second. I wrote it down. Okay. Oh, I just got notification that it did not pass. And again, that's because we paid attention. And that one was HB 721, and that was harassment of election workers, which would have given the power to the corrupt law enforcement officers to go after anybody that said anything about an election worker. And it doesn't matter what they said. The election worker could say, oh, you hurt my feelings. I'm calling the police. And then you would wind up as an election watcher, a poll watcher, you might wind up in jail. So we felt that that was giving absolutely too much power to the local governments. We didn't want to do that. Now, there are two bills that are education bills, and that's HB1, and that did pass. And that was an age verification for the internet, for social media, for the people to be able to say to social media, you have to get parental permission so that the kid could not go online when school caused lunch. They didn't have to be able to do that. That was HB1. We got that one passed. We did a lot of lobbying on that one. And the other one that we need to get passed is, let me just see. Oh, HB 931 and SB 1044. And that one is another education bill because that one will allow any school district, should they so choose. It doesn't say you have to. It says if the school district so chooses to have a chaplain in the school, that they would be allowed to do that. Right now, they are not. And this bill would give them the ability to be able to do that. It has to pass the Senate. It has already passed the House. And that is SB 1044. Now, the other bills, there are two more that are really horrible, as if this isn't bad enough. And that is HB 757. This one is really a humdinger because this one is directed right at us, right at talk radio, right at the people who are doing podcasts. It's directed right to the conservatives. And what it's saying is, did you get on the radio and talk about a topic that I don't like? I could say, oh, that's misinformation, and have to get off the air and go and wind up in jail. for giving misinformation. This bill is called the Defamation, False Light, and Unauthorized Publication of Name or Likeness. It requires articles or broadcasts to be removed from the Internet with specified period to limit damages for defamation, provides persons in certain positions related to newspapers with immunity for defamation if such person exercises due care to prevent utterance of such statement, provides venue for damages for defamation, provides for an award of an attorney and attorney's fees and damages due to the plaintiff's choice of venue in certain circumstances, provides for motions for veracity hearings in defamation or privacy tort action, provides that a person who uses artificial intelligence to create or edit any form of media is subject to liability. Now, Stephen Miller, who is an attorney and worked in President Trump's administration, he said of this bill, by the way, is HB 757 in the House and SB 1780 in the Senate. And he said of this bill, I thought this was the best explanation. Defamation, false light, and unauthorized publication of name or likeness is the way to be passed, is on its way to being passed and must be stopped. On this one, we have to call Governor DeSantis. We have this message. If Florida passes this proposed law to lower the standards for defamation, expect leftist plaintiffs' lawyers to spend the next generation bankrupting every prominent conservative based in Florida. And then he continued, and you can find his information in F. If you want to go ask corporate media, then pass a law that narrowly tailors corporate media to adhere to the law. This law, however, will mean that conservative influencers, podcasters, alternative media companies based in Florida are going to get wrecked solely because they are conservative and give a conservative message. Now, George Soros, remember that name, recently, last year, purchased 50 radio stations that were Hispanic radio stations. Okay? He is now purchasing the second largest media network in the United States. He will own it. And this has on it, on this network, are programs on talk radio like Sean Hannity, Dana Lash, Mark Levin, and other conservatives. Do you think he's going to let them talk? Right now, the only network left that will have conservatives on it and have them be allowed to speak freely is iHeart. Sirius Radio, which is number four in the country, just sent in papers to the SEC to allow them to be purchased 100% by a company in Singapore. And to add insult to injury, Mr. Carr, who is one of the heads of the SEC, is sending out a directive that should this one go through, that I think there's going to be a public comment, so we're going to need to be doing that. And what he said was that in the future, every network provider and host of podcast or of a radio show will have to send in their list of employees and show that they are diversified, that there is what percentage of of racial people that they have on their staff. Can you imagine how wonderful that's going to be? And the last but not least is that the World Health Organization, time is getting closer and closer, and they have decided that they should control the world. So this is something that we have to contact our federal legislators. And after the hearing that they had today, they should be very receptive to not allowing the WHO to be able to, take over healthcare for the world, since they did such a wonderful job with COVID. And you know what, Miss Sally, I bet you don't know, or maybe you do, who is the biggest contributor and controlling piece, who gives control, who is the biggest contributor.
Oh, gosh, this is
going to
be this is going to be really tough. Has he bought up a lot of farmland and ranches? Does he like vaccines?
Yes. He owns the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, own the most, they are the biggest investors in the four big pharma company, and they are the biggest investor in WHO. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't we lucky?
Yeah.
We're so fortunate to have Bill and Melinda just doing what they can for we the people. In any event, Speaker Johnson's number is 202-225-2777. And tell him that we are coming upon March 1st. We do not want to see a CR. We do not want to see the government open if our border is open. Close the border or close the government. No CR, no continuing resolution, because we're tired of using our taxpayer money to spend on these NGOs that don't pay taxes and turn around and screw the people. No welfare for illegals. They want to give welfare to the illegals. So not only are we going to pay, and I think it was, I am not sure if he did the executive order yet, but our wonderful, absolutely phenomenal, looking after the folks, president, wants to add to Medicaid that Medicaid will now cover housing, energy, and food. Where is this money coming from? I have no idea. So that is my update for the day. Isn't that exciting? So everybody, you've got work to do, and I will tell you, if we call them, write to them, voice our opinion, they will change their mind, as you could see by the two bills that we got that failed. If we are silent, they will do what their donors tell them. It's up to us. So if we don't want to live by these rules, it's up to us to change them, and unfortunately, we're not doing that. So this is very, very serious, and this is our health care, and they are really going to destroy it any way they can, because that's one of the best, fastest ways to take over a country is to go after the health care.
Totally disgusting. And this is, I know you're going to have to drop here in just a minute, but this is why one of the items I got out there listed for today is fire Congress. And that really means your state house and Senate too. Don't limit that to the federal government. The majority of these people are disgusting and need to be dethroned. They don't care about us. I think it was Peter Schweizer who was saying something like 75% of the U.S. Congress are compromised by the CCP. That's how many of them have been bribed and bought off and stuff like that. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. I'm going to try to play a segment from he was on with Glenn Beck today, so I'm going to try and play that segment if we have time. But it's just so disgusting. We
we have to fire this Congress. Which isn't going to be easy with a totally corrupt election system. It's not easy, but we've got to push back as much as we possibly can, and we've got to contact these people. Call McConnell. I mean, Newsom said these people are just—they're disgusting. We have to get in their face and in their ear as much as we possibly can. And some people say it's a waste of time, but I say, well, I'll die trying. Give me liberty or give me death, whatever you want to call it, kind of thing. Live free or die routine. I'm not going to just stand here and say, I'll just go ahead and do it because it's not worth my time or effort. But I'm not going to be a sheeple. So I'm going to attempt. And then this thing with them shutting this down, years ago, I mean, I think it was probably 2 decades now, they were starting to merge these different radio stations, and we kept saying, no, you cannot do that in a free society, a free speech society. You cannot have a few people control the message. And that's exactly what they did back then, and they're doing more of it today with Soros and stuff. So it's just totally disgusting. Anyway, any last words? I know you have to drop off here, Karen, but anything else you want to share before you have to head out?
Yes, we cannot allow them to sign on the WHO treaty. Because that is absolutely worse than anything you can possibly imagine, because even if Trump gets in office and pulls us out of WHO, apparently it will take a year to disengage. And they will be testing new drugs. There was a hearing today in Congress, and 3 doctors, actually I think there were more, gave an earful about what the vaccines are doing, all this tism, all of these diseases are all designed so that the pharmaceutical companies will make money. The vaccines are a huge money maker. And Peter Schweizer said that the LGBTQ++ group is also funded by China. So we have to get real. This whole operation from this whole regime is being funded by China with our tax dollars.
And was that Senator Johnson's hearing today? What was that hearing today? Because I'm going to go out there and try and play it.
Yes, okay. That was Senator Johnson's hearing today. And he got an earful, and I have to say Laura Loomer was terrific because she laid it right on. And she said that every time you pass one of these continuing resolutions, all you're doing is giving these NGOs money so that they can come back and destroy the country.
We're the self-destruction. We are on such a suicidal path. We're doing this all to ourselves due to ignorance and total brainwashing and propaganda. The media truly is the virus. The media is the enemy. Because this stuff wouldn't be allowed to go on if we had an honest media reporting the facts.
Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right. And I am going to have a doctor on my radio show this weekend coming up, Dr. Alf Gabrat. And please listen, because we're going to be talking about what is really going on with this healthcare. People think it's a right. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And I don't have to pay for your healthcare. I should be paying for my own. And this is what's going on and destroying our wonderful healthcare system, which is what Obamacare did, was unconscionable.
Yep, promote the general welfare doesn't mean to take care of everybody and have everybody on welfare and free health care and education. That's not what promote the general welfare means. So we'll have to have a discussion about that one night. But some people seem to have that confused when it says promote the general welfare. But promoting the general welfare by their means is to kill and destroy the general welfare. And you don't have to look far. Don't believe they're doing it. Open your eyes. Because it's right in front of you.
Yeah. It is.
It's right in front of you.
Yeah. So. Anyway, thank you so much, Molly. I appreciate it. And I will be speaking with you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the update. Have a good night, and we will hear from you next week. Okay. Now, with that being said, we can move. We'll go on to some of these other things, and others, please feel free to push the one if you want to talk on the air. And okay, I almost thought I got disconnected there, but okay, I'm okay. Blog Talk Radio has been doing so many things. Who knows who really owns Blog Talk Radio these days, too. But going on, some of that stuff, I really do need to call McConnell's office and some of these other, I mean, it's treason what they're doing, just absolutely treason. And you know what? We may not change their mind, but we can sure be a pain in their whatevers so they can, that they'll hear about us, that we're not just going to sit quietly by while they totally destroy everything. And the other, you know, some of this, did anybody watch CPAC? If you did, there were some really good discussions, which Malone was one talking about the WHO. And the, okay, let's see what's going on here. I'm getting some signals here. The something ain't working. But anyway, he on the WHO and how they, right now, we're on the brink of handing over our sovereignty to such a corrupt organization that is, in fact, controlled by Bill Gates. I mean, can you imagine? He's the majority of the Gates Foundation, Melinda Gates, whatever it is, Foundation. The people who want to promote depopulation via vaccines, and this is not a World Health Organization. It's a private entity trying to destroy the world. And so we've got to shut this down, but we've got to get the Congress to do this. But, you know, if I get the chance to play this segment from Peter Schweizer, where Blood Money is the book he's got. He's just got a new book out called Blood Money and Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. We have, our government is, in fact, a treasonous organization that is killing us. Talk about it. Forget Jan 6 insurrection. Let's talk about treason of these people, the traitors and the treason who are in government, in public office today. And that is why, and I mean, before I'd even heard that in that segment from him, we have to fire Congress. I mean, and when I say that, personally, my own personal belief, 90% of people in public office today are not deserving to be reelected. They're treasonous traitors. They don't believe in this country. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't adhere to the Constitution. They're guilty of bribery at all different levels. Whether you want to say they wrote a check, of course, we know how much money has been given to the Bidens, or we know at least some. We don't know the full amount, how corrupt the Bidens are. But and by my understanding is right now it's proven that 75% of the U.S. Congress is compromised by communist China. So why do you think China is getting away with all this crap? It's really not rocket science, people. It's really not. So if you want to live in a communist society, you're going to get it. If you don't, you better start doing something to stop it, because we are so close. We are so close. How much control China has over this whole country, it's just disgusting. Okay, let's see. This is, I think it's Sarge, but we'll see. We'll see if I'm right. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
No wonder, Sally, you're so spot on. I mean, you just know things before they happen. You knew it was me.
Anyway,
I got something, a little tidbit that might really pique your interest here. The Ruskies are reporting that their counterterrorism is reported to assassination attempt.
Yep, you're breaking up just a little. I'm not. Hold on before you go too far. You're breaking up just a little.
Okay. How about now? Is this any better?
Yep, that sounds better.
Okay. The Russian counterterrorism unit is reporting that they have thwarted an assassination attempt on Tucker Carlson in the underground parking lot of the Four Seasons Hotel in Moscow. Now, allegedly, they have arrested a Moscow man who took payment, they say, from Ukrainian intelligence to plant explosives on his vehicle. They said, and this is what they say the guy said. In November 2023, I was recruited by the main director of intelligence, Ministry of Defense in Ukraine. I was trained in working with special communications, collecting and detonating devices.
Yep, you're fading out again.
Okay, how about that? Is it any better?
Okay,
any better?
Do testing. 1, 2, 3, testing.
test 1, 2, 3. How about that?
Okay, I hear you.
Okay. Now, he says, on January 31st, I received the task from the curator to pick up an explosive device from my hiding place and use it to blow up the car. What was promised to you? $4,000. Where was the explosive device supposed to be used? In the underground parking lot of the Four Seasons Hotel in Moscow. Who was it targeting? I wasn't told. Do you know who the target was now? Yes, American journalist Tucker Carlson. Now, having said all this, I got to admit that there's a propaganda war going on between the Russians and Ukrainians, and I'm suspicious of everything that comes from either side. But let's just play along for a minute and say this is true. Now, what should be the United States government's response to an attempt to assassinate an American journalist, given how exercised they get about this guy, like this Khashoggi guy, remember? And all the other journalists they say were attacked by Russians around the world. And now it would appear that, for hypothetical sake, let's say this all turns out to be true. What do you think the response of the United States government toward Ukraine should be? And do you think it would be likely to happen if it was proven to be true? Or do you think they'll even mention it?
I don't think they're going to mention it. Mom is the word. Everything they're doing is so wrong. They're not going to say much of anything. If they actually spew anything, it'll be propaganda. Won't be any truth to it. But they're going to cover up and sealed lips, just like all this other garbage. Why this book, you know, Blood Money, why the powerful would turn a blind eye to what the Communist Chinese Party's doing. Because they're compromised.
So you don't think they're liable to say anything that might reflect badly upon the nation of Ukraine? Now, look, I'm willing to say this on in their behalf, not knowing anything that could back up what I'm saying. But you know how it is with intelligence agencies, like our own. They frequently go rogue. I know they do in Eastern Europe, whatever country they're working for. They frequently go undertake activities on their own. And it could be possible they might have acted autonomously to target Tucker Carlson because they think he's a threat. And they might have done it with maybe a tacit understanding that it would be so, or maybe even without any sanction whatsoever from their own government. So I'm even willing to concede that's a possibility, although I think if it was true, it wouldn't surprise me if it was corrected by the president of Ukraine or somebody close to him. But what gets me, though, is that I don't think that this administration, even if they knew this to be true, would say a single negative word about Vladimir Zelensky and his regime. I think they'd be doing everything they could.
I don't think so either. They're too in bed with them. Right now, of course, we all know Biden doesn't really have a clue what he's saying about anything. So it was whatever he's being spoon-fed to say or what they put in front of him, if he can try to read it. So, but anything that's going to shed any light onto the truth of what they've been doing and what they are, they're going to block it. And the ultimate bribery, just like with the CCP. These people aren't going to say anything against the CCP because they've all taken money. They're all compromised. We have the most corrupt, compromised government probably in the world.
Well, didn't they say at least 150 million or more people watch this interview with Carlson and Putin?
Now, I found that kind of interesting, too. And I'm going to be honest, I have not seen the whole thing. I saw Tucker having an interview with Glenn Beck, whatever, and some of that. Didn't even truly see all of that. And I have not watched the Tucker Carlson interview. I keep meaning to. I just haven't had a chance to. So I am kind of interested because people were really making a wide variety of comments about what he said, and then something about afterwards. He said something about what we should be looking at, what, you know, compare what's going on in Russia compared to our own country, something about the slime and everything going on in San Francisco, and compared to, well, at least Russia can have a clean subway or something to that effect. And I think it was Glenn Beck may have been asking him something about that. Others were offended by it. Offended at first, some were offended that
Carson ever went to talk to him, to Putin. I don't know why you would be offended by a reporter doing reporting stuff. That, to me, doesn't make any sense. Now, were his questions fair? Did he give enough pushback? That kind of stuff. That's the part I don't really know, and that's what I hear. Some people are annoyed that he did it at all, period, shouldn't have done it. And then others are saying, well, if you're going to do it, at least ask some serious questions. And I don't know if it was during that interview or it was after where, gosh, I wonder why Putin would rather have Biden be the president. Go figure, yeah. Right?
Yeah, because they pointed out the fact that they believe that Hillary Clinton was a known factor, predictable, and what concerned them about Trump was the fact that he was not establishment, and he was a maverick, and someone who they probably could not either categorize or corral as easily as they could Hillary Clinton. That's what I found really interesting about the whole thing. And it makes sense to me. I think
absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. I mean, that's been the whole thing. And there was some clip, and I don't know who was playing it, where they were showing somebody was interviewing Obama and said, would he want to have a third term? And he said, now he really didn't, he would like it if he could be in the background and he could be telling somebody else what to do kind of thing. Kind of like what's happening right now with him controlling Biden. So
right.
The third term of Obama. And so he didn't want to be on the front lines, but he wants to finish the job. Hillary was supposed to finish the job, and they were supposed to have the system rigged enough to not, I mean, they just really had no clue how many people would vote for Biden. So, and let me mention one other thing is we're talking a little bit about this election, and what's, I guess I'm sure everybody listening here knows about South Carolina, you know, Nikki Haley, she is a communist operative herself, whatever. Who knows what she's really trying to play games. She won't even show her husband in public because apparently he's not what you would call American, pro-America. I don't think he's pro-America. Let's put it that way. He doesn't seem to want to assimilate to the American culture, at least from what I keep hearing. I haven't ever seen him, so I don't know. But the whole thing is crazy. But when it comes to these closed primaries, and I'm going to send an open letter to Trump or something at some point to understand what the problem is. This is exactly why you don't want closed primaries. And, I mean, you can go back and forth on the risk, but the whole reason Obama got elected is because of stupid Republicans and closed primaries. They're acting like the Democrats are doing something new here by registering as a Republican so they can go vote against Trump. That is what everybody was doing back when Obama was running. I can't tell you how many stupid Republicans I've heard say, "Well, I'm gonna vote in the Democrat Party because I'm gonna vote for Obama because he can't be elected president. He hasn't been there long enough. Hillary would be the bigger threat. Hillary Clinton was a bigger threat to get elected than Obama. So they went. The Republicans went and voted for Obama to be the president or to in the primary." And to be the Democrat candidate. This is how stupid some American voters are, and this is how stupid the Republican Party is. I don't think the Democrats would do that. They wouldn't. They would do it to some degree if they truly all came together to do it and made it a plot to do it. But in the case with Obama, people were stupid enough to think that he couldn't get elected, kind of thing. Here, right now, in this situation. Anybody who's got just even one eye open, half a brain, has to see that Trump is very popular. And if you have an honest election today, Trump would be elected. So how are they going to manage to corrupt this election so that that doesn't happen? Or if it does happen, what's going to happen next? Because that'll be the other thing, which is kind of the reason, again, talking about the fire Congress. The so-called Republican Congress is out there setting them up. They're passing different types of legislation to block, you know, money going to Ukraine, that he won't be able to stop this and won't be able to do this. All these different things, they are setting us up for failure in the event Trump wins. Because if Biden or whoever, Michelle, whoever, ends up winning, they'll just continue on, and they won't really care. Those policies won't make any difference to them because they're the ones giving all the money to Ukraine and company and everything else. But if Trump wins,
and he wants to go and shut down some of that stuff, they will have made it an impeachable offense if he goes and goes against what they're trying to set up. And I don't have all the details of some of these things, but this has been reported multiple times, how today's Congress, with a bunch of Republicans, not the, you know, not like it's flooding with Republicans, but there's enough in there that would, and of course McConnell would help, will do everything they can to sabotage the Trump administration, a Trump administration. How sick is that? These are the people we have to get out of Congress, and the same is at the state level. We got to get the crap out of the state level, too. It's just, it's so despicable. It really is. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that kind of goes, what you said kind of goes back to this criticism of Tucker Carlson for his interview with Vladimir Putin. Now, he's looking at the Moscow subway in Moscow, and he's saying, he's not saying that Russia's great because it has beautiful subways. He's asking,
right,
why does the United States have subways that don't look clean and as orderly as the ones they had in the 1930s and 1940s and 1950s? He's asking why they're full of crap and homeless people and criminals and thugs and people afraid to go down in there, and it never used to be. He's saying the United States is a great country. Anyway, he doesn't want us to be like Russia. He wants us to be like America used to be. He wants to be like America, not like Russia. You know, he thinks
right.
America is a great
country
that can do great things and can continue to be so, and he can see the decline. He can see the lessening of meritocracy. He can see the impulse toward, oligarchs and tyranny and disregard of the traditions and the Constitution. And he says, why can't the country be more like the United States? He's not talking about Russia being so great. He scored a journalistic coup. He's supposed to do that. He's a journalist. But at the same time,
well,
he can make these contrasts, and he can try to hearken us back to a time when America was the country that people flocked to because it was orderly and it was clean and it believed in civic virtue.
Well, and at the same time, the very same point, well, whatever deal Russia may have going on with the CCP right now, which who knows what that really is, the CCP is not killing their people with fentanyl and everything else like they're doing to us. What the CCP hasn't taken over Russia. Who knows what alignment they have today? I can't really speak to that. But what we have done, because of the corrupt Congress we have, and that they have literally sold their soul, and it's my own personal belief that these people who did this, these so-called representatives, senators, elected public servants, they're going to rot in hell because they turned and killed their own people. Because that's what these people are doing. They are aiding and abetting and aiding the enemy and allowing China to kill us. They're not the only ones. I mean, we've got the other issue like the 9/11 stuff. But right now, it's a silent we have committed suicide. We're sitting here while they just kill us, and we just act like we these people in public office. Well, they have to get their money. They got. What would happen if they didn't get reelected? I mean, it's so disgusting. Excuse me. Wendy SD, I'll be with you in just a second. Go ahead.
And don't you find it just fascinating that Joe Biden is hinting and he's going to pass some executive orders to deal with the border situation, when all along he's been told he doesn't have any executive authority to do anything about the border situation?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys literally think we're dogs. You know, like we can beat one way to them a few minutes, and you know, as long as we're not really cruel to them, we're just slightly abusive, they'll forgive you, and a few minutes later, and act as though nothing bad ever happened. They think we're like that. They think we're like dogs. They can tell us anything in 1 minute, just a few minutes later, they'll tell us something completely contradictory and expect us to believe it.
Well, when you think about it, the people who would still vote for Biden again today and the people who voted for Biden back then when he was hiding out in a cellar and when he was saying, if you don't vote for me, you're not black and all this other stuff, if they would vote for them, then they're saying, well, yeah, the American people are stupid enough to do this. I mean, let's face it, that's kind of what we created our own reputation. I didn't do it, but this is kind of what they said. And going back a little bit to the thing with what Tucker was saying, he said, what we ought to take a look at, why do we have so many homeless, drug addicts, and all this other stuff in the streets, with and without the illegals out there. What has happened to us as a people and as a country and as a culture? And I believe that's more to what he's saying, kind of like what you're saying too. It's not like we think that Russia is doing everything right, but Russia hasn't surrendered, hasn't been sold out. They haven't sold out what their core are right now. The sad fact is, people have sold us out. McConnell and Newsom and to that Karen was mentioning earlier, they have sold us out. McConnell's gotten rich off of his Chinese wife and the CCP and everything else. He's not going to ever do anything for us. He's not going to ever do anything to support Trump. I'm pretty sure. I think it's almost a safe bet that if McConnell was up for reelection this time, he wouldn't get reelected. The sad part is because he's in the Senate, he's not up for reelection this time. I think he's still got two more years if we can survive that. And I really don't know the worst of if I truly don't know what to expect with this next election. I'm totally convinced that the majority of people would elect Trump if, in fact, we have an honest election. Big if. But if Trump gets elected, you've had a Congress, a Republican Congress, who has been sabotaging you. So when you get in there, you're going to be in a mess. And if you don't have a group of good, strong, Make America First, the MAGA, true Save America representatives in that House when we start over again with him, then it's over. If you have the same kind of slime that's in Congress today with a Trump administration, it really won't matter because they have sabotaged him. And the same is true for these senators. Every one of the senators who voted for McConnell to be their leader is scum, every one of them. Anybody with any kind of courage or guts or ethics that was not bought and paid for, not compromised, would have never let McConnell take over that leadership, and they wouldn't let him continue. Once he became ill, that was their chance, and they could still do it today. He's not supporting the American people. So if you're supporting an individual who's a treasonous traitor to the American people, then doesn't that make you a treasonous traitor too? I think it does. So they all got to go. Let me get Cindy in here. And anybody else, just call in and push that button one if you want to join the discussion. Hey, Cindy, how are you doing?
I'm good, Sally. I just wanted to say that we met with a candidate tonight running for a local seat who I know. And she's going to be good because she sees the problems that we have. But this is all the way down to the local. We have Brightline Railway now. We fought against it. Brightline is this train, I'm sure you know about it, that goes down the coast with no people on it. So now the article today was, of course Stuart wants to make a stop here because they're building our prison inside the urban boundary, which is with the apartments. And, nobody needs a car, and you can get your electric car, your bicycle, and that's what they're trying to do downtown. So as far as I'm concerned, these people are idiots. You know, here's what we asked her today. Do you think the county government should give money to the non-for-profits? No. Do you think the community redevelopment, the CRAs, should advise the county commission of what they want, because this is the detriment. Who sits on the community CRAs? Attorneys, developers, real estate agents, so forth and so on. What do they want? They want to redevelop all the time. If it's not, and I go by the old hours, if it's not, why do we have to fix anything if it's not broken? The towns are good the way they are. Why do we have to gentrify it? Do you think that we should have planners? No. Do you think that the Treasure Regional Council should have a say and be advising the county commission, which is Andre Duany, which is, pushing those people? And his comment in Vero was, fascism is a efficient way to get the government to do their business. Really? So this is what, we're right down to the bottom. I have no respect except for one or two or three people in my community that goes all the way up to the State House. We're in an oligarchy. They only care about money. Down the street from me, four houses down, is the $20 million Ukrainians. Where'd that money come from? Why do they want to get rid of us? They want more tax dollars. Tearing down houses that were built, 7 years ago, not big enough. So we're in an oligarchy. Money has taken control, and that's the way I view it. And it is a disgusting, disgusting way. And, you know, they got everybody to go along with it because everybody's online and they're, you know, oh, look at me, look at me, look at the vacation I'm at, look at my car I'm driving, look at this, look at that. And people are have lost their way of what America was really about. So I'm not, this woman said today, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. And I said, oh, I'm so glad that you're the Debbie Downer and I'm not because I'm usually the Debbie Downer. Do I think it can be fixed? I can't see any way to get it fixed except if we definitely have a huge financial downfall. And I don't wish that on anybody, especially myself, because I would be gone. So I don't know how other you fix it. I just don't. Because the commissioners, the state house, just like Sharon was repeating the bills, they don't care. They don't care. Or it's all like a Ponzi scheme to me now. It's just what it is, a Ponzi scheme. And as far as Russia's concerned, I'm a Catholic. Really, I'm Greek Orthodox, but my husband was Catholic, and I became a Catholic later in life. And then I read about the church, all of the ills in the church. I can go on and on about that. I don't go to church anymore. I read the Bible every day and do a prayer book. If I was to go to church, I'd go to this little tiny Armenian church where they speak out from the pulpit, and if you want to give money, you put it in the basket at the door. And he says it like it is from the pulpit. But where we are today, the churches are a mess. Nobody seems to care. We're headed towards this. I'm just so sad. I don't even know where to say that we're headed to, except for the fact that people are going along with it, and they really don't want to know. A lot of people just don't want to know. So I keep pushing and pushing and pushing. I felt good today because this woman absolutely got it. She grew up in Hialeah. She had there were six children in her family, and she knew what it was like to live in Hialeah back in the, I guess I'd say, 50s, 60s. So I think she's a good candidate, and she gets it all. But it's so embedded. Every layer has been ruined. And it's a mess. So back to where I got, wait here. Russia has been building churches. So my friends who are Russian, these are some of the comments. My mother, who lives in Siberia, finally has heat. Why did she get heat? Because when Putin became elected, or whatever you want to say it was, he went to Siberia. And those people were really suffering, and they were very poor, and they didn't have any heat, and it was really bad. And he made sure that the oil was, you know, that they provided energy for them so they could heat their homes. Most people who I know that are Russian like Putin. They're building churches there. They're not tearing them down. They're building churches there. I watched this couple. It's a young couple with a child, all probably for the last 2 or 3 years. And my friends who are Russian, my other friends would say to me, that's propaganda. Well, he and his wife would take their little girl shopping, and they'd go to this grocery store, and it was amazing. And he would say, we don't like GMOs. We don't have GMOs, which Tucker talked about, no GMOs in Russia. The food that is grown there is amazing. The quality of life, to me, after watching them and talking to other Russians, seems to be a hell of a lot better than the United States right now. And I'm surprised at myself that I would say that, but it's true. Because it seems to be a better place for children, for families. He's promoting that. And yet here, this is what I listened to today. I listened to Charlie Kirk, and he had this guy on, and he talked about queer theory. Well, that's Massachusetts Resistance. Massachusetts Resistance was one of the first activist groups to warn about the LGBTQ, soon to put P on the end of it, for pedophilia, and that's where we are today. And Russia doesn't have that. So anybody who is promoting to fix the public schools, sorry, I'm done with you. I'm not pushing to fix any public schools. It's never going to change.
No.
What I feel we
nope.
should be doing is pushing for homeschooling. And that's my take tonight.
Well, I definitely agree, homeschooling. And it is kind of interesting, or whatever you want to call it, that Russia is adopting the American model of the family and all this other stuff, and they're not letting all this transgendering going on and all this other perverted crap stuff going on. They're not going to allow that. And yet here, look what we're doing to our – we're turning into a communist society too. They're taking control. They're doing anything and everything they can to destroy this country and to take down the middle class. And because we were the strongest of the most successful middle class in the world, and, you know, the elites can't have that. They have to have full control. And then the sad part is, you get these people – you know, a small list of people in Congress today, and probably even a smaller list when it comes to the Florida House and Senate, of people that have any ethics or integrity or have truly a loyalty to this country, their loyalty is to themselves first. I mean, you're definitely right. The money and all this other stuff. McConnell is nothing. I mean, I don't know if there's anything scummier than McConnell. There might be. I mean, Biden...
Well,
is Biden scummier than McConnell? I don't know. I think they both ripped off the American people by their bribery and stuff. Go ahead.
But I'll just give you an example. I don't know. We're busy here in Martin County. People are going out to dinner, and one guy is buying up the restaurants and adding 16% on the tab, even if you got shitty service, which most of the time it is. And who are the people? Are they illegals? We are living in some kind of surreal world. Okay, the Republicans, like, I don't see too many people who are struggling, at least in Martin County. And if you do, they're not going out to dinner. They're not participating in any of this junk that we have now. And yet I'm dealing with a bunch of Republicans when they have a Republican club dinner. They're sending out a menu where it's $25 for an entree. What planet are you on? This is crony. You know, the Republicans have been promoting capitalism. It's crony capitalism. It's not capitalism. If you listen to Millet on at the CPAC, I thought he gave a good – it was kind of boring, but he gave a good economic speech, like I was listening to somebody from the Mises Institute. But we don't have true capitalism anymore. We have crony capitalism. And what we have now is the rich – the upper middle class, the middle class is screwed, and now the poor is the poor. And so how is that, what is the Republicans doing for us? Nothing. Look at the State House. They're doing nothing. They're doubling down
nothing.
On stuff that they know will affect us. And it is a disgrace. And shame on DeSantis. And shame on all of them. And I will never, ever, ever. And we supported our candidates. We had them in. We grilled them. We did everything. And then what did they do? They lied to us. They absolutely lied to us. And remember when everybody said a couple months ago before DeSantis get out, oh, I'm never going to support him again. It didn't take 3 weeks until the Republican Club set out, DeSantis is back. Look, he's done something good. Wow. I mean, I'm just like, you forgot. Like, it doesn't mean, could I say he made a mistake? No, he did a lot of damage. And he's still doing a lot of damage. Why? Because he threw you a little crumb so you could support him again? Because that's how I feel. He is a political person, and he's lost any support. I'll never support him ever again. Unless
bad part is
really huge.
Yeah. The sad part is they're going to be stupid Republicans who will go out there and support him anyway, even though the crap he's done. But being on the subject, I think this is one of my questions on the list for today, and I think you would be the perfect person to answer this. What is a useful idiot?
somebody who keeps voting for the same people over and over again and then don't care. What do you
think?
That
and the people that are clueless as to what's going on.
They're totally clueless. No, they're too busy playing golf. Cindy, why is there so much growth here? Oh, but I got to play golf. I can't help a candidate. I can't do this. I can't do that. Listen, the money, people made a lot of money under Trump. And we're seeing it now because of the building that has gone on. I mean, the houses and everything that's being built, it just never ends. I have these two people I've known for a really long time. They're old money. You know what their property insurance is? $37,000. I mean, you tell me, and they're complaining about it, and they have money. At least they're complaining, and they understand how wrong it is. But they don't have to worry. But they are donating money to the local candidates because they see the detriment of what's going on here. And the local doesn't give a shit. The Live Local Act, that's just going to add, you know, they'll get more money in their pockets from it. Because they're going to do the building, and they're in bed with all the developers. Everybody's in bed with everybody. It's a joke. I mean, it's and also what's gone on now is they're buying homes in other places. So when they ruin this place completely, then they can move somewhere else. And Florida, we have a 3%. They want to put a 2% sales tax on our a referendum, okay? To buy land to put it into conservation. So just a quick, very quick history. Martin County was never, it was a non-growth county. The developers would never come here. And that was because of Maggie Hurtella, Janet Reno's sister, who wrote the comp plan, and Nat Reed on Jupiter Island, who kept it at bay and bought up a lot of land, okay? We'll never look like Palm Beach completely because we own a lot of land. So tonight, at this meeting that I had with this woman, one of my people said, oh, I disagree with 3% tax. Well, I spoke to one of my friends who has basically works for, I don't know who he works for, foundation, whatever, but they buy up land for conservation. And he talked about what's going to happen here with the water and with our river and what's going on in Martin County. We have to buy land. Because they are going to build on every little parcel that they can. And it's going, I mean, right now we're teetering. We have a very dirty river. We have drainage problems because they've overdeveloped. And yet that sounds like a lefty kind of idea, but it's not really because what we Republicans, real Republicans, should be talking about is conservation. How come we never hear that word, conservation? After all, we were once a party of conservationists who believed in that, and we don't talk about that at all. So now we're all for growth. Row it down. Build your stories.
Like crispy, dark, four pieces of chicken.
Sarge, what are you saying? I can't quite hear you.
No drink and no side, just three peppers. That's it.
Okay, Cindy, did you catch that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
No, I didn't catch it either.
Got to work on getting Sarge's phone taken care of.
Yeah, what happened here? Anyway, so...
Okay.
Things have really changed because if you would have asked me 10, 15, 20 years ago, I would have said, no way should we put a tax to buy land. But I didn't have to worry then because a lot of land was bought and it was put into conservation for good reasons. Now we're really teetering on this problem that we're going to have with our water, and it's really serious. And yet they don't care. So our four-story limit is in jeopardy. And they will build towers with the Live Local Act, and that's what's going to happen.
Well, and the interesting part too wasn't it just this past year where the state of Florida passed a law to give the developers pretty much eminent domain, which would be another reason why the locals would probably try to buy it up and protect it or something, that kind of stuff. It's disgraceful. It's nothing. It's crony capitalism to the max. And it's just we're so self-destructive. I mean, it's disgusting. And how much, that was the other thing that was another Florida deal here. And I think I understand what probably happened, but I don't really know. There was, and Joe, if you're out there listening, I know North Carolina did pass a bill to not allow the CCP to buy up property around the military plants and this and that and whatever else, and they seem to be surviving it. Florida was passing a similar law to stop China from buying up all this real estate. However, in Florida, it got rejected. It was challenged in the court, and they said it was unconstitutional. And all I could see, excuse me, is it said something about Florida unconstitutional to not allow Chinese to buy land. I don't really know. Do you happen to have any info on what happened there? Because there's something seriously wrong, too, again, with Florida, if you're going to say the CCP can buy up land around your military facilities. The insanity. So what was in that bill that they somehow managed to get pushed back to challenge, and it got turned over? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know.
And then the other part, which I've been pushing out there, and I know you have too, it's like at some point we have to remember state sovereignty on some of the stuff. But right now, even if you have state sovereignty, even if you have a few people in Tallahassee who actually know anything about the 10th Amendment, they're the treasonous traitors too. I mean, they're treasonous to you at a state level versus the federal level, which of course goes kind of hand in hand. It's just absolutely disgusting.
I'm a great believer in, I listen to my church. My church used to be the first person on Sirius Radio from 6 to 9 before he got bumped off by Breitbart. Mike is a friend of mine, really lovely people. He broadcasts out of Louisiana. I mean, he's not your run-of-the-mill talk show host. He's really good. And I've learned a lot about compacts when we were pushing the compacts with the health care, with Obamacare, Tea Party Patriots tried to do that. I've learned a lot more about secession through Mike. I've learned now they have a new governor that he feels is going to be a very good governor in Louisiana. And he is of the belief that we're going to hit, he doesn't know when, or we don't know when, but there's going to be a time where we may see that rising secession. I mean, when is it going to be enough that the state government says, you know what, I'm not doing what you tell me to do. We're done with you. Okay?
Yep.
But people, when you say that to them, they don't understand. It's like, if we had built a compact with health care back then, we could have made a compact with Georgia, South Carolina, whatever, right? We could have had our own health care system. That is the stuff that we should be looking at. Governor DeSantis, in the beginning, I thought that he might have been knowing about that and maybe be a and headed that way. So we did a project on the 10th Amendment nullification, and I had somebody do this big, huge, gigantic chart on nullification, and we were going to get that into Governor DeSantis's office, and hopefully he would remind him that we have the 10th Amendment. Well, it never happened, and look what happened. He went along. So I that's the only way I think that we can fix it, is just to say, no, we're done with the federal government. Stay out of our business and really do it. Look at how long it took the Texas governor. I mean, come on, that's a shambles.
Yeah.
He waits till what? Yeah. Almost 2 years? Come on. So, because they're, you know what? Because they're still taking too much money from the Fed. You know, we have to stop the Fed. It's not your business what we do in Florida. But we don't have anybody strong enough to do that. State legislators are so involved in it that would probably never happen.
Well, and that's the sad truth, too, that and I'm – because I've been to Tallahassee, and I've talked to some of these people, and, okay, when are you going to stop taking the money from the feds? If you're going to keep taking money from the feds, then you're on the hook for their crap, which is why you've got that stupid bright line. The rail trains to nowhere, what are the biggest boondoggles, it's all just – and they say – and, Joe, I see you. I'm going to go to you in just a second. And this was the same in Orange County, Central Florida, SunRail and Brightline in there, too. I went, this was Congressman Representative Soto, saying this is all going to be funded by the private sector. Well, wait a minute. You're giving them tax breaks of how many millions or billions? Then it's not funded by the private sector. You're using my tax dollars. You're giving them tax breaks. So it's not being funded by the private sector. But the average person, unfortunately, the useful idiots sitting out there, have no critical thinking. They just, well, gosh, this is a representative who serves me. I elected them, and we, the people, elected them. I never elected them, but we, the people, elected them. Thus, they must be telling us the truth, right? So this must be good, and gosh, it's all going to be paid by the private sector. No, it's not. Can people wake up and get your head out of wherever it is? I mean, it's just the insanity, the stupidity of Americans. And so much of it truly does go back. Public education and the media, you take those two, and you have totally brainwashed the society into believing, drinking any Kool-Aid that they drinking Fauci Kool-Aid. Okay, let me get in here because he's
okay.
Yeah, real quick, and then I'll get Joe on there.
No, okay, I'm done. You can go.
Okay. Joe, what are you thinking?
Hey, I'm thinking about what you guys are talking about. I mean, we just can't say the state though. It's up to us and our self-governing ways. We can't, we've got to stay flip them off and peacefully resist. Disobedient, civil disobedience to the system. We got to stop relying on them. Call the cops. Everybody, everybody wants, just a little example. We rely on the government for every little aspect of our life. We've got to basically be rebels, rebel against the control. And then we can go from there. Then maybe Sarge can figure out how to plug in all these plugs, and I can figure out how, And everybody, we can do our little thing as individuals, instead of having to always look up for someone else to do it,
Yeah, and see, this, like right here where I'm at, I happen to have a well and a septic tank, and this is a rural area. So to that degree, I think I have a little bit of a benefit that they're not going to try to shove their public water system, their fluoride water system, down my throat. But they're talking about it. In the smaller communities, look at this. We're going to get federal money, and we're going to get money to go do this and build this. No, if they would let people let the growth go where it should naturally grow, you're not going to have people all crammed together. They're the ones who want 15-minute, some people call them 15-minute cities, others call them 15-minute cesspools or poverty zones, whatever. And so they cram this down there. And unfortunately, you get people who fall for this crap. I mean, how do you get past some of the ignorance of the American people? Because if we all get together, I mean, we can see what's happening. Whether you like Trump or not, look at what the masses are doing right now when it comes to Trump, even with all the crap that they're doing in the courts. There's
they're
no way,
doing it
as far
me.
As I can see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
they're
you,
doing
you
it
know,
to
they're,
me.
They're,
yep. Yeah, tomorrow go I ahead. Go to trial. I just got the notice today, right? They're going to bring me to trial tomorrow for that case. I don't want to get into the whole story about me, but they're bringing me to trial for And they know I'm campaigning. The primary is next Tuesday. Why would they do that to me now? Because, hey, we can get rid of this guy. Use the power, one of the branches of government, like they're doing to Trump. And Clinton, they're doing the same thing to me. The same thing. Bring me up on charges, get rid of the guy. I'm just on a smaller level than Trump. That's all. And that's what they're doing to many other people around the country, too. You just don't hear about it. The only reason why you hear about me is
Republicans
because,
doing
we know
this
it's
to Republicans.
Yeah.
So who's the enemy? Try to identify
within,
the enemy out there.
Within. Yeah, I know. The enemy's from within. It's crazy.
It is all over.
What can we do?
And
what can
I? Go ahead.
And what can we do, Sally? What can we do? What's the answer?
Well,
that's what I was asking.
Personally, right now, I really people better face the fact, and try to be realistic of where the culture and the mindset and the corruption. And like I say, if to think that 75% of the U.S. Congress is compromised by the CCP, they're not going to help us. So when this all hits the fan come November, and again, assuming that Trump is elected,
what do people truly think is going to happen with this culture and with these loons, these nutcases out there? And I think we have to be prepared, which trying to get it at the state level, get it the local and state level, which, as Cindy was talking about, isn't easy either because people have been so brainwashed and dumbed down. But I really do believe we're going to have some type of compact. There's going to be two different Americas. There's going to be the original United States of freedom kind of thing, and then there's going to be the socialist states or whatever. There's going to be two different. I don't think we're going to survive as one nation. I do not believe because of the loons who are out there and the ignorance that is out there. I want anybody to tell me, because, I mean, believe it or not, there's still people out there that think they're better today with Biden than they were with Trump.
Yeah.
How would anybody ever say that? How can you say that? The stupidity of it all. So, and I want anybody to tell me, what do they think is going to happen? If Trump wins, what do you think is going to happen in this culture? And what kind of loons do you think are in Washington, D.C. today who would do anything, the ones in there today, how many of them do you truly believe support the people out of everybody in the U.S. Congress? How many of them support the people? Two.
School shootings again, you know, riots, burning down Dollar Generals, police officers, they're evil again, you know. It's a lot. A lot's going to happen.
Well, what you're talking about, Joe, is the lower end of that spectrum. If you want to see the upper end of the spectrum within the form of the elites in government, just look at that glittering-eyed, fanatical lunatic, Letitia James. I mean, she literally... The glow of fanaticism and madness is in her eyes when she talked about Donald Trump. I mean, it's like she's in the grip of some sort of fever dream. I've never seen anything like it from that highly placed an official, ever. Not anyone. I think she will typify the worst of it. People like her, even AOC, didn't look as vacated, just I don't know, almost frightening with her certitude. I mean, it's like some sort of, it's like the woman's in the grip of some sort of demonic possession. I've never seen anything quite like it. Tell me if you can remember anybody in American history that highly placed in politics, in any type of attorney general of a major state is a pretty significant job. And listen to her, look at her face, look at the way she smirks all the time. She walks around like she's possessed. She literally needs an exorcism.
wouldn't disagree with that. The stuff that's going on in Georgia, too, this shows you truly, when you think about what's happening with Fannie Fani, whatever her name is, with the garbage in Georgia, this is a DA who's going after me, you know, going to be the big star and prove what a wonderful attorney she is, whatever, prosecutor. Trying to put her name in the lights. And I would have thought, and they said, and I believe it, I'm pretty sure they all said, don't get on that stand. Don't go out. Just stay. Make them prove that you did what you did. But no, she was so arrogant and or stupid or both, she was determined to get on that stand. And then she put her foot in her mouth so many times it wasn't funny. Talk about somebody, I mean, well, you would think somebody who's an attorney who's supposed to be this up and rising and genius and whatever else, she would have had enough sense to shut up and not get on that stand. But that one just totally made me think, well, you've proven to me that you're an idiot. You don't have any clue about the law if you were dumb enough to put yourself on that stand.
Well, Nathan Wade, oddly enough, though, Nathan Wade, rather subdued, he knew he'd been caught. He walked right into a perjury trap. I mean, that guy, Steve Sandow, Trump's lawyer, walking right into a perjury trap about his records. He walked right into it, eyes wide open. But he at least looked like he knew he was guilty. I mean, that's one thing I had to give the guy. He knew he was guilty. He was trying to find a way to salvage himself by saying the minimum possible. It was quite the opposite with Fani Willis. She gave herself so much rope, she hanged herself around two or three trees.
They wouldn't dare put her on the second day.
No, they realized what a clown she was. I mean, with that, with the puffed-up outrage, you know, the puffed-up outrage, and they're the ones that are bad. I'm not responsible for anything. I take no responsibility for any possible aspersions that have been cast on my office by any of my actions. I mean, it was really amazing to watch someone with that sense of entitled hubris and put it on display for the world to just gawk at. It's beyond belief.
It's like, dear Lord, go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just agreeing with him,
Yeah. It's so sick, and it's like, talk about this self-destruction. I mean, it's just pathetic what we are doing to ourselves and trying to wake people up and thank goodness some people are waking up, and I just hope that we have enough people that are willing to truly defend, because they're coming after us. They're coming after us in every which way.
I was out at the polls today, because it's early voting, and I was speaking to voters, and one lady came up to me. She goes, "Can I talk to you in private?" And, and she pulled me off the side. She goes, "Well, I just wanted to ask you, all about the news reports and everything, are they true and stuff?" And I break down the story to her. She goes, "Oh, my Lord." And then she goes, "Let me make some phone calls. I'm going to get you some more votes." And she got about 10 people out there, that vote for me. Yeah. So, this is the, so that was good, so I got a really good feeling. I mean, next door app, people are talking about me. They're saying, they're going to support me, setting up groups in my name. So it's taking off now at the perfect time. And look what's going to happen. Tomorrow I'm going to get railroaded. These people are slick. They're criminal. They control everything, and they are, I got to hand it to them. They're smart. But what do I do? What do I do from this point forward? I don't know what to do.
We're lucky that Fanny Fawny isn't as smart as she thinks she is. She's evil. They're definitely evil. The evilness and the intelligence of these people, the sliminess of what they'll do, they'll do anything. And I say it's so sick because of the Republican Party. Now, I heard what's our good old friend, Ronna McDaniels, whatever. Apparently, she's supposed to be truly stepping down after March 8th. Well, what's so special about March 8th? This has been going on for a while, so what's the big deal? Why can't she step down tomorrow? Is that her next paycheck? It's sick. But truthfully, you think about the RNC and how corrupt and they're just and people just think that they're going to save them. And I'm telling you, and I guess I understand why Trump is going to somewhat still rally under the GOP crap. But if he gets in there, if we don't change the House and the Senate at the same time, it's over anyway. But if they do, get some decent, true, Make America Great people in there, we the people, have got to be on their case from day one. You have got to change us. We have got to go to their office as much as we possibly can. I know that's impossible to go every like I might want to do and that kind of stuff. But we have got to hand them and say, you have got – and we need to seriously think about what kind of constitutional amendments need to be done. And this garbage. Oh, I got to make sure I put the comment out there just as we're talking because of some of the stupidity. One of the latest things, too. Well, first off, Biden out there with his insanity of saying that he has to write executive orders to fix the border crisis. Like all of a sudden he's going to be the hero. But then again, the real reason for the border crisis is because of climate change. So if we have more EVs, the border crisis goes away, I guess, or something stupid.
Why did you got to write executive orders? Why? Exactly.
It's all political. It's all acting like, see, I'm taking control of the situation. I'm fixing it. No, you're the one who broke it. Just apply the law as it stands, and we don't have a problem. But it's because of the other.
But again, we got to remember, he kept protesting that he needed new authority to do something about the border. That was just amazing about this. He needed it. He couldn't do anything if he had more money, and Congress gave him more authority to do something about the border, despite the fact that Trump invoked that authority under Title 8, Section 12, twice in his administration to deal with shutting down the border. He didn't need any laws. He didn't need any budget passed. He just used the existing law and the existing authority he already had as commander-in-chief and president.
Exactly. It's all garbage. And because these same people who are the Biden loyalists who will go whatever, will still support him today, how do they believe this crap? I don't know. I mean, get your head out of wherever it's at because you're just disgusting.
How can you believe this?
That's what I was saying last night, Sally. We were on a podcast show last night, and we got this liberal on there. And I know what his agenda is, whether everybody's friends with him or not, but he always calls into the podcast shows. I know he's poisoning the minds of the people, you know, and we got to stop that. We can't continue to allow it.
Well, he only poisons the minds of people if we let him get away with it unchallenged. And he will poison the minds of people. But they're doing this in everything. They're gaslighting us constantly. They're telling us we're not seeing what we see. And if they continue to get away with it without challenge, then, yeah, they will poison our minds. We've got to oppose a counterpoint to what they're saying, because they're getting it from every single conceivable media platform there is to get. They got the high ground on this one, folks. We got to admit it. Sorry, I wish it wasn't so, but they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when the news started being a for-profit industry versus a public service kind of thing, and that's when, of course, the CCP and all of them got in there, then it was over for that, too. It's nothing but a brainwashing mechanism. And like Karen was saying earlier, they're trying to change this rig, and I don't have the bill right in front of me. I don't know if Cindy's got it handy. The thing where they're trying to take away the radios, take away the media. They are doing everything they can to totally control the message, to silence us. The majority of the people do agree with us. I truly have no doubt of that. You definitely have this other group that's ignorant, brain dead, whatever, clueless, the useful idiots routine, that it will drink any Kool-Aid that Biden serves them. But the majority of people are on the right side of the issues. The majority of people are sick of what's going on that border. The majority of people are tired of the kids getting killed with the fentanyl. Now, when it comes to the fentanyl, it's poisoning. It's not people who are ODing on it in that sense. It's poisoning because they're putting it something else. But we really need to get down to the core reason, the same reason why you have all the crap in San Francisco, as to why our youth think they need to take all these drugs. We've lost something there too, but nobody really talks about what is the need. What has driven people to so much alcohol?
I was exposed to it, and I know what it does to you. It knocks you out, and you know, and that's why I'm going to court actually tomorrow because of that, and I'm being railroaded, and I don't know if I should just not even go to court, just let them give me a failure to appear, you know, and I'll fight it from there, and just wait for the election results, you know. I mean, because if I go tomorrow, I'm going to tell you right now, I got a good chance of going to jail for 120 days, you know. And I think that's what their goal is to do. I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to lock me up, you know. I mean, this is crazy. It's insane. Insane. I mean, you know, and why now? Why now? Why are they going to do a trial now, you know? I paid this lawyer $2,000, and, you know, another maggot. You know, this is our system. This is what we're talking about. It's a broken system. It's broken because it's filled with criminals. You know, it's filled with the real criminals. And there's no checks and balances. There's no way to check it, you know?
Well, and that's it. And of course, ultimately, it's because we the people sat on the sidelines way too long. And even today, how many worry more about watching a stupid football game than they do about defending their own homeland? And, I mean, pro sports can be good, you know, whatever. It's entertainment. That's all it is. So, but you got to kind of say, well, what's more important? Are you more interested in saving your country? I mean, the CCP was advertising out there on the stupid Super Bowl. I know I can't remember all the crap they had going on, but they were out there advertising. Then, of course, Pfizer was out there saying how wonderful it is because they're going to come up with a cure for cancer. Would you trust their cure for cancer? No. In fact, the truth of the matter is they've supposedly had cures.
I want to save my country.
Go ahead.
I'm willing to sacrifice. I have sacrificed. I'm willing to sacrifice again and again and again. I don't care. I want to save the country. You know, I'm trying to do my best, man. Everything I can do. I can't do anything else. I don't know what else to do.
Well, and that's the sad part about it. How do we undo the crap that's going on with the system? How do we clean up and remove the corruption that has taken over?
And, I mean, this is the stuff, and I don't have the quote right in front of me with Washington, how he said, these unprincipled people will usurp the will of the people for the will of the party and will take over the reins of government for themselves. The same system that gave them so much power, they are now going to abuse and use against you. Here we've allowed these people this honor. It's supposed to be something that they are, we give them the right to represent us, and that they're using it as a weapon against us. They are taking us down so that they can have their glory and be elitist. The working class is being destroyed, which, of course, is America.
These lawyers are a real problem. These lawyers are a major problem. These lawyers across the country.
Are.
Look at Trump's lawyers, you know? I mean, come on. They're bad.
How is it not an invasion? How is it not treason? And how do we get... I don't know if it was Dr. Tolbert, I may have to check with him, where the process in which we can have we the people can file a class action suit. There is some way we have got to do this. But,
yeah, but
there again,
can
you find an
attorney? It's been done, Sally. It's been done. I mean, we filed an indictment on Obama back in 2010, I remember. You know, in Atlanta, Georgia. Went nowhere, you know? I mean, it's just...
Well,
What do we do?
Is it going to get to the point where do we try it again, I guess is what I'm saying. Did we learn anything from the lessons of the last time that we can apply to this time? I mean, what do you think about all these crazy
things? Try to get less people thrown in prison? Try to get less people thrown in prison for the rest of their life? I don't know.
I don't know. It's a very sad state of affairs, but we have to keep pushing back. And really, the individual resistance, I think it was Sarge that was saying that. I can't remember.
Yeah, they circle it.
The individual resistance. And, you know, I do resist on everything I possibly can. There are some things I never took the vaccine or any of that kind of crap. So I push back, just like I was talking about. They're going to try and shove fluorinated water down there. I don't need the government to provide my water when I live in Florida and you have the natural resources right here. I don't need that. And if they wouldn't keep screwing up the development of areas, people would go where the resources are. I think it was Ron Paul that said years ago what happened with Katrina. It was all self-inflicted because the government came in. We're going to build the levees so you can live here. You can live under seawater, sea level, and you're not going to have any problem. And, of course, all the levees that broke and everything that happened with Katrina. You weren't really supposed to live in that area. That was not a livable climate. That is not what Mother Nature wanted. And had you had the government out of the way and people were doing their own thing, they would not have been able to live there. You would go to higher ground. You would go into... And so every time I saw this in Orlando, and I'm telling everybody listening out here, Central Florida, because of their uncontrolled growth and their love of developers, it's a matter of time. It's already happening some. There's going to be massive flooding in Central Florida because they think they can build over the swamps. They think they can pick up and relocate.
I know,
swamp down
I know. Insane.
They can't do that. So, but it's because we allow them to do this crap without resistance. We go out there and we push back on it, and so many times, the stupid sun rail, we said no, we didn't want it, they bypass us. This is where we have to do something different to say, no, this is our right. Don't pay it. I really wish, and I don't know how I could do it because I don't have the money, the means to do such a massive campaign, but either at a state level, maybe do it locally or a state level, and then
individually, tomorrow. Like
shut
tomorrow,
down.
Like with me, I say no, I don't cooperate. Let them come get me, whatever. I know, it's your kangaroo courts, your lawyers, your bar association, you know. I mean, no, you know, I'm not cooperating, you know. That's it. So let's do it. You know, I have, and it's not like it's just me against them. I have proof. I have documentation. I have paperwork, you know. I have everything to back me up to say that I'm right in my little war here, you know. So I have everything. So I have the wins already so far. But then now they're going to get me, you know. So, you know, I'm walking into their battleground, you know, their field of battle. So I'm with the troops, I'm outnumbered, you know. I mean, I'm not going to put myself in that position, you know.
And that's really what we more of us have to do. More of us have to say, no, I will not comply. And the other, it was on one of the shows on Frank's speech, whatever, it was a while back, the guy would say, I will not comply, I am willing to die. We have to face the fact if we don't comply, we are going to be at risk. They're going to try to do something else to us. At the same time, I'm at risk if I comply because they're trying to kill us the other way too. So what difference does it make?
Exactly.
I will not comply.
Good point.
Yes, yes, I'm ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
You have to live free or die.
Yeah.
That's really the truth. And we are, I don't know that we've ever been this close to such a insanity of what this country has come to. It's so disgusting.
Oh,
what was the other thing that was out there? The COVID stuff, just a quick update. I mean, more and more is coming out. The COVID tells you, and there was, I think Karen mentioned about this a hearing they had today. I don't know if it was that hearing or another group talking about all these vaccines, what they have been doing to the children. Now, I don't have any young children. I don't have any children. The 70 vaccines, what do they think they're doing to these kids? And, I mean, I can truly believe there's probably some caregivers who actually believe they were doing something good in the beginning. But, come on, wake up. All the autism and everything else, and then, of course, this latest with COVID, they're killing us, too. They want to control us.
And then you don't send the school? You don't send the school with the vaccinations? I got a letter. They'll have you arrested. Truancy, you know? Or you know what I mean? It's crazy.
And we need to shut down the public school.
Even more evil than what you guys are saying that is going down in Illinois. J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats in the House down there in the legislature down there in Illinois are saying now if a parent does not submit to gender affirming care, and by gender affirming care I mean sexual mutilation of the child determined by some health professional, then your child can be seized from you, taken from you by the Department of Children and Family Services. Now, right now, it's only a bill, not yet a law. The point of the matter is they are trying to pass it. Just imagine that sort of tyranny. They're trying to pass a law saying literally that if you do not, after some professional determines that your child needs to be sexually mutilated, if you do not submit to them, they will seize your child.
Where do we draw the line? I mean, come on.
And the even sicker part of this is, it's like, okay, they talk about people leaving California and New York and all this because of the crap going on and heading to Florida or Texas or Tennessee or whatever else. But the fact is, these other states are doing maybe not as bad, but they're on the same path. I mean, you're escaping what's going on there to Florida. Yeah, Florida's on this path to total insanity as well. But this is where, here in Florida, we still have a chance to try to save it. The guy from El Salvador, he was on CPAC. If you didn't hear his speech, and I can't remember his name, I apologize, President of El Salvador, he was talking about where America is, what they've just gone through, how they have saved their country. And America, we made reference to the frog, and the frog is in the water. The water's not boiling yet, America. You still have a chance to jump out. You better do something now. Otherwise, that water's going to be boiling, and you're going to be gone, and you're going to be having to do like
jump
we
out
did.
Where? Yes. Jump out where? Where do you go? Jump out where?
Well, you want to, at a minimum, you want to be out of the boiling water because you'll be cooked. You can try to find something else once you jump out, but if you stay in there and you get cooked, you're over.
It's like saying go from the frying pan into the fire.
Well, let's hope that we're not jumping into the frying pan routine, but if you do stay in the water and it boils, you don't have a chance. But he's saying you still have time to make some changes and to fix some things, to change some stuff, and we need to do it now. The trying to do it, I wish I had lots of money, and that's truly what Trump is doing. Trump, because of his money, he's able to get a message out there that none of us can get out there to make people realize something else is wrong here. And whether you like him or not, I mean, I know some people, they just eat.
He's going to be here in Greensboro. He's going to be here in Greensboro on Saturday. Trump's going to be here in Greensboro on Saturday. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, because your primary coming up, yeah.
He's going to be here Saturday. Yeah, man, I hope I can make it to see him. I hope I'm not a fugitive.
Yeah, well, I wish I had some contact at his campaign to let him know.
You're being persecuted at the local level in the same way, but
oh, yeah,
obviously
I'm
going
to reach out to
them
tonight. Yeah, I'm going to reach out to some of the contacts that I got tonight, you know.
Yeah.
So see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to blow this up. I mean, I got to, you know.
Yeah, I sent some information to a couple of shows. I don't know if anybody ever reached out or if you followed up Wayne Allen Root and some of the other ones out there. Try to get some in the John Frederick.
Actually, I have. Some people have reached out to me. One reporter did reach out to me from Cops in Congress. I think I sent you an email on that one. I'm not sure if I did or not. And then another one contacted me, and I tried reaching back out to him, and I haven't heard nothing back yet. So it's that phone tag thing, too. You know, you got to make contact at the right time, you know?
Of course.
Oh, by the way, Joe, exactly what is the charge they have against you that you're going to court for tomorrow?
Well, if you remember, I was working undercover for the Guilford County Sheriff's Department. I made an undercover drug buy, and
right.
I got exposed to fentanyl, so they charged me with DWI.
Okay. So
that's the charge.
So you how long ago were you charged with the DWI?
April of 2022.
2022?
Yes.
Was it your first time offense?
Yes.
And they charge you with a felony DUI?
No. It's a misdemeanor. But they got me for wanton reckless driving too. They stacked the charges on me, you know? So I got from that one too. That's a misdemeanor too, though. But then remember now, also Sarge. You remember I was going. I had family court issues going on at that time, so they're trying to say they're pulling back an old probation. Now they're trying to say I was on probation from that family court thing. So they're trying to violate that probation, which I wasn't on, and I'm not on. So and I have paperwork that says I'm not on, and I discharged off of that. So that's
uh-huh.
All that was going on when I was working undercover.
Did they do a breathalyzer or a BAC on you?
Nope. Matter of fact, in the police report, it says I was completely coherent. I answered all his questions, and I didn't seem intoxicated.
Okay, that's in the report.
Yeah, that's in the report.
So it's really someone's opinion that you were driving under the influence.
Correct.
Oh, man. Look, okay, so they don't have any objective evidence that you would legally intoxicate.
No, sorry.
They don't have any.
No.
All right.
Exactly.
They didn't do any blood tests or anything.
Yeah, they did do blood tests, yeah. I wanted to do the blood tests. I wanted the stuff, you know, because I got exposed to the stuff. I wanted to prove that was in my system, you know.
Okay, so they did have evidence that you had fentanyl in your system.
Exactly. Yeah. I needed to prove that because that's how, what else? Why else did I get sick and not out? You know, I'm not a drug addict. You know, I was making an arrest trying to stop the stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. After all this time, I think they're doing this just to harass you because you're on the campaign trail. I really do.
Yeah, Sarge.
Yeah.
They're gonna lock me up. Yeah.
It's a delay. So you'll probably beat the charges, but they'll cripple your campaign.
No, I don't think I'll beat the charges. I think they're going to find me guilty. I think what they'll do is they'll take me to trial tomorrow in district court with a non-jury. They'll find me guilty and sentence me to 120 days in jail. Because you can get jail
time. First time DUI? Is that routine?
Sarge, I've seen it happen, man.
For first time offenders? Jail time?
Zero tolerance.
Wow.
Yep.
You had a rough state there.
Yeah, zero
especially
tolerance.
Especially when they're at gunning for you.
Especially that's the thing, Sally. Yeah.
Well,
I guess that's a clincher right there then. Okay, I get it.
They're gunning for me. You've heard the news reports on what they've been doing to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody in the Republican Party probably pulled the coat of the prosecutors down there and said, you know, make sure whatever you got in the pipeline for this guy that you carry through to the full.
Why else? Yeah, why else would they go to trial, Sarge? 7 days it's actually tomorrow will be 7 days until the primary, yeah.
Had this been scheduled beforehand? When did the scheduling occur?
Oh, well, it's been on the trial list, So they called me up today and said, yeah, we're going to go to trial tomorrow.
But they hadn't had a definitive date until just now?
No, no. No, they've been carrying it out, dragging it out for 2 years now.
Very clever.
You know?
And you think
okay,
about it.
Yeah, very clever. All right. Yeah.
Think about
okay.
what our Declaration of Independence said about a fair trial. The part of the reason why we declared independence was because of this kind of crap.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that's why
arbitrary,
I'm thinking about saying no. Let them come
yeah,
get
arbitrary,
me.
Arbitrary, capricious government and law enforcement. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
terrible.
Right, Sarge, what they're doing to do that. I ain't got no chance to subpoena witnesses. I got well, how do I do subpoenas in 12 hours, you know?
Oh, man, that stinks. It really does. Well, you can always ask for a delay in the proceedings and ask that you need more time to gather the
We already did. The prosecutor said no.
Oh, you got your attorney. Was that what your attorney made a motion? Your attorney made a motion to that effect?
Yeah, well, he contacted the prosecutor's office, and he said, no, we're moving forward with this.
Yeah. And it's clear. It's just the games that they're playing. It's all the political control, and it's just disgusting. It's that's what it's all about. And this is, and I've heard of some of the other cases, of some other MAGA candidates that are out there where they're doing these different things across the country. And, of course, we all know about the Jan6ers, because how many of those people are in jail for absolutely nothing?
Sally.
Everything that Declaration of Independence was why we had to declare this and what is happening today, we are just where we were at before. So, and
I know,
people
and that's my thing. That's
that.
My point, Sally. That's my point. I mean, I'm not. I know you guys can't tell me what to do, but I'm just saying, what would you do? What would you do?
I don't know.
Right
I mean,
now.
To not appear, so I guess you could check with your attorney and say what happens
oh,
if
no,
you
don't gotta
appear.
Oh, no, you got to appear. Don't not appear. You got to appear. But what I'm saying is that your attorney ought to be able to make a motion for a delay in the proceeding somehow, given the untimeliness and the fact that you are campaigning for public office now, which probably is the reason they got you up there in the first place. But still, that is a valid reason to ask for a delay in proceedings, and mainly in order for you to prepare your defense. That's why you really
the
need to
delay
to
denied,
prepare your
denied
defense.
It. Yeah, the state judge is going to go along with what the state recommends. You don't think the judge who's on the same team as the prosecutor is going to say,
they don't always do that. Now, I think they might want to do it in your case if they've got you singled out. But, I mean, I've seen many times, a judge going against a recommendation of the state's attorney. But, you know, I said, when they're targeting you and the fix, look, if the fix is in, then you're right. There's not much you're going to be able to do. I'm assuming that if the judge has some kind of integrity and believes in fidelity to the law, he will allow your motion to delay proceedings to prepare a defense.
But, Sarge, if the fix is in, why am I going to walk into the lion's chamber? Why not fight it another day?
Well, you got to go because then they got you for failure to appear. I mean, there's no way around that.
Okay,
you got
to
go.
Failure to appear?
You got
to
go.
Because
failure to appear is like automatic,
man.
I mean, you know.
It's like Braveheart. It's like Braveheart. I'm walking in to get my head chopped off.
I understand.
Well,
you know? If you don't go, it's failure to appear. They might even revoke any bond you might be able to get.
I don't have a bond.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, the sad part is, and I don't know what, obviously at the late last minute trying to, if you had some media who was there on your side, but that's the sad part. Did you have any media, anybody that would be there to speak on your behalf before you even walked in the courtroom?
That's what I wanted to ask
you.
I got some reporters' contact information. Do you think I should reach out to them and give a press statement?
That, and I'm telling you, if you can rally a few of your supporters who have been helping you the campaign to do a sign waving out there before it, too. Get a sign waving, if you get enough people for a sign waving to say this isn't right kind of stuff, and that would get some of the media coverage, too, and it might get more widespread on the coverage that they're doing this stuff. People sometimes think sign wavings are just old-fashioned, but they do get attention if you get enough people. A couple of people is better than nothing, but if you want to get the media's coverage and you want the media to talk to the people about what's going on in that courthouse, then you need need 40, 50 people out there with the signs saying stop the corruption, let us vote, whatever,
Yeah,
but
I
Joe, if you
do
don't
that.
Appear, the judge can issue a bench warrant for failure to appear.
Yeah, but if you have those people
you
there
gotta
for
go.
You
gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I go,
that's
Sergeant. They put me in for 120 days. I go and they put me in for 100.
I'm saying, but they also put a warrant out for your arrest, and they'll get you when you start campaigning.
Yeah.
You don't want to be arrested.
On,
well, maybe you do want to be arrested in front of your constituency. But I'm just saying
that's
that, you
well,
know, if they put out
again,
a warrant for failure to appear,
me,
then they got the grounds to arrest
you
and incarcerate you.
Joe, one more thing. As we're talking about this, if you get people going down there to support you and to rally for you, you got to show up, too. You can't go and leave them high and dry.
Unless
you're going to stand
right,
there and
Kelly.
Say, I shouldn't go in there, because what they're doing is unconstitutional. It's whatever it is. Whatever the case, you know, this is what the persecution that they're doing. But you definitely want to be out there with the people with the sign waving in the beginning and try to get that media out there before you walk in the door.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that, Sally. Yeah. I mean, I mean, they said I can appeal it, but then they slap an appeal bond on me so freaking high I can't make it. Then what the hell do I do? You know what I mean?
Well,
you know, I mean,
the
you know, that's,
continue on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just let everybody know, we got about 4 minutes left here. We're gonna run over a little bit. I'm not sure how long we'll be on, but we're gonna run over just a little here.
Sally, I didn't mean to change
week.
The subject on you.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sally, I didn't mean to change the subject on you. So, you know.
That's okay. It was open mic night. This is exactly what the theme is. I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. Aren't you afraid of your government with the crap they're doing? That's no problem, not at all. Let's see, we have another caller out here, and I think I know who it is, but I'm going to say 8091. Please give us your name. I think I know who it is.
Yeah, this is Boyd.
Yep.
Joseph.
Okay, that was my guess.
Joseph, make sure that when you're in court, you make a motion for a delay in the trial that you did not have. You were told the day, what, yesterday, that you're going to be in court tomorrow?
Today.
You were told today
Tuesday.
That you're going to be in court tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would make a motion and make sure that got on the record.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're going to do that, you know. But they're going to deny it, I know. But that's, you know, I've already been told they're going to deny it.
Get on the record.
Yeah, but you need to get it first on the record, and you need to make sure that your attorney does that motion in court on
the
record.
I know. Yes, I know that. District court's not a court of record, though. A superior court is. This is district court.
District court.
Yep. The North Carolina district court's not a court of record.
Oh, well then, go in there and demand that it goes to district court for a jury trial.
Jury trial, superior court. I want to go from district court to superior court, jury
superior
trial.
Court.
Yeah.
Go up.
I know all this, boy, yeah, we got all those bases covered, trust me. I appreciate the advice, but I know exactly what you're talking about. We got those covered. It's just that I know for a fact I'll be railroaded. I know for a fact. That is common sense. You know,
that's why you have to have the public input. You got to get pressure out from the outside to show what's going on. To if nothing else, shame them and call them out on what they're doing. And the same, it's like, you know what? This is what they're going to do to all of us. This is how this is a totally out of control government that has no respect for the people, no respect for the Constitution.
The catcher is I was working undercover for law enforcement.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, for God's sake, how pitiful is that to sell out your own, you know?
Well, they do it to us every day. They're selling us out left and right, and of course on that border and everything else. So this is how it truly goes as low. We talk a lot about local government. Here, look how low it goes at the local level.
Don't you guys see what they're doing to this guy Smirnoff in the Biden impeachment inquiry? Look what they're doing to him. He was a reliable informant for 20 years.
Yep.
He gave information about what he saw with Biden. Now, all of a sudden, he's a liar, and they're trying to impeach his conduct and his testimony, and, in fact, put him in jail. I'm telling you, this thing stinks to high heaven.
Thank you, Sarge. That's a good example. Yep. Thank you, Sarge. Good example. Yep.
That's exactly right.
That's what they're doing to me.
I mean, these people have no limits when it comes to protecting and what they perceive as the existential threat to their grip on power. They see what's going on now as a threat to their grip on power. I believe they're willing to do anything to retain it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn, I'm so stupid for getting exposed to that crap, man, Sarge. I'm so stupid for getting exposed to that crap. Damn, why did I freaking make that mistake, you know?
Well, and this ties into the Patriot Act stuff, too. I see that out in the chat. Just think about that. The Patriot Act, what they did to us there, and how many people were gullible enough to fall for it. I mean, there were many of us that would say, no, the Patriot Act is unconstitutional. It's, but here they did it, and that's how it allowed some of this stuff to go on.
I know.
Excuse me. That's how it's allowed this stuff to go on. If we don't shut, and, you know, you get different people out there. That's another question for anybody at the federal level. Are you going to take down this Patriot Act? I want something in writing here that you're going to do it. Because the corruption is at that level, too. It's a cancer that has spread throughout this whole system. It truly is that has spread. And trying to shut it down is definitely going to be a lot of work. And I don't know. But you got to keep fighting. But I'm telling you, I hope you're able to get enough people there to get some public attention to it, to call out the injustice of what they're doing. You know, you may not be Donald Trump, but it's the same thing. They'll do anything they can to shut down the will of the people because they want everybody to be.
You know, Sally, the only thing, you know what?
Yep.
You know, Sally, just the bottom line here on all this, you know what? If I got to go in, I got to go in, you know, but I just worry about my family. You know, I mean, I own two houses. You know, it's the stuff I leave behind that I've worked hard on my life for that I lose. You know what I mean? You know,
yep.
It's stuff like that, you know, and, you know, I'll sacrifice myself. I don't care. My life even, but it's the others around me that I worry about, you know?
No, that's where they get you.
Yeah.
That's where they can always get you.
They will do whatever it takes to make their point and do the crap. It's totally, totally disgusting. And somehow,
yeah.
Some way, we all have to push back. We have no, we in any way at all, we have to not comply with it. We have to do our damnedest to get these people out of office. We know it's going to be difficult because they have the money. They're the ones. I mean, the crooks are supported by the crooks. I mean, come on.
I win and I'm sitting in jail. I win the election, I'm sitting in jail.
Well, we've been talking about that. What happens if Trump wins and he's in jail? He can still be president from jail, from what I know, understand.
I can be.
Yeah. No, I definitely lose, man. That'll be on the news for sure. I'll definitely lose. The rest of the primary day, the people will not vote for me then if I'm sitting in jail.
But then, I'm not mistaken, I do believe that if you're in jail, I believe under the House rules, I'm not sure, they can vote not to seat you. I mean, under the House rules.
Yep. Yeah.
So you got to watch for that, too. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
And we have to do what we can to get the message out about this is what they're doing to stop anybody who's a patriot, anybody who believes in this country. They will do whatever they can to stop the true American patriots. And the American patriots better realize this is being done to them because it ain't going to stop with a few people. And, I mean, Trump is very right. If they were going to do this to Trump, they're going to do it to anybody else, and you're the perfect case.
Yeah.
They're doing it to you, too.
Yeah.
And this And it's so sick, too, because this is the Republican Party doing to its own people. And that's the other part that we've got to do something to squash this crap in these parties. These parties are so much part of the problem. They really are. How can you be in a Washington warned us about this, and Washington would not be affiliated with a party. And, of course, he was not a party. I think he was the only no-party-affiliated president ever elected, I think. Ross Perot was going to be a third party at one point. So people got so fed up with it, but people have been so brainwashed, and I get so sick of listening to stupid people on the media say you have to have these two parties. No, you don't. And they should not own our ballot box, which is what they do today. And they're owning that one there. What's going on? So anyway, it's just after 9 o'clock right now. We've covered quite a bit of stuff on here, and it's so, so frustrating. I wish I was up there able to do more to help you out, Joe, but unfortunately
I know.
Please, if you're able to round up some people and get some signs out there, they'll need to start working on that stuff tonight if they want to have some kind of sign to hold up.
I'll be awake all night tonight. Yeah, I'll be awake all night tonight typing stuff up and, you know.
Yep. But have that, and then make sure you send us some pictures of the sign waivers. Sign waving gets people's attention. I know it personally because I've done it enough times. When subjects that nobody had ever heard anything about, I had heard because I was more engaged in the topics. But people in the street, yeah, it's like a sign waving on a corner with traffic, and then you have a flyer that you hand out with the facts on it. It's amazing how fast you can get some information out there. And if there's enough people, the media will feel obligated to cover it to some degree and to ask them some questions. And so at least it gets it out there. Gives you a little bit of a chance.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Amen.
Well, let's have a quick round up here. Wrap up. Any last words of wisdom? And we all wish you good luck. We'll definitely say a prayer for you for tomorrow.
Thank you. I may do a podcast later on. I don't know. Like I said, I got a lot of typing to do, but I can say, man, pray for me. You know, I mean, I never really asked for people to pray for me, actually, to be honest with you. I think it'll be the first time I ever asked. Pray for me and, I could lose my life in there, you know. I mean, if I go inside, I don't know what will happen, you know. So, God, whatever God's will is, let it be. But, you know, just like I said, pray I'd be safe at least. That's all I can ask.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye out for what's going on tomorrow, too. Let us know whatever you can as you're going through this process.
Thank you.
And then, Cindy, are you still there? Or are you on mute? I mean, I know you're there. I see you. The question is, are you on mute? Cindy? Okay. Well, Cindy, if you happen to hear us and you want to chime in for the last minute, go ahead and let us know. Boyd, what do you got to share with us as a quick roundup or anything else you wanted to add because you weren't on too long so far?
Oh, that's all right. I just want to make sure that whatever the outcome is tomorrow there in Joe's court, Joe gets the word out to us or somehow gets the word out to us because they may not let him leave the courtroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, hopefully you got enough people that have your primary contact info and they can send out an email to us or post it, even if they post it on your blog talk show, something, whatever, you can do something. Make sure you get the word out to us. So, okay. And Sarge, we're going to wrap up with you again tonight with your words of wisdom. You always have a few.
As soon as he's done fumbling looking for his mute button.
Yeah, Sarge, and that's a phone problem. Sarge, are you still there? I see you out there, Sarge. Are you on mute?
My network tech.
Yes, ma'am. Would you repeat that again, please? I missed it, though.
We are wrapping up, and we want some of your words of wisdom as we close tonight's show.
Oh, well, I think my words of wisdom are pretty much the words of wisdom that have been shared by everybody on this panel. All of this. We're speaking to everything, and everything we're talking about is all of a piece. And that piece is the destruction of the United States as it has been known and replace it with something that is the United States in name only, completely divorced and completely alienated from every single principle and founding tradition that made it great in the first place.
Amen. That is the truth. And I thought I had set it all up here where I was going to get to play Trump and the Jan Sixers, but now I can't seem to find it. Where did it go? Because I am going to play that on the show one of these days for some reason. They blocked it on a bunch of the sites, so that was kind of interesting too, that they actually went so far as to try to not let people hear that. Okay, here we go. We are going to wrap it up. It's Justice for All by Donald J. Trump and the J6 Prison Choir. So please enjoy. God bless America. Say a prayer for our country. Please stay engaged. Please don't comply with the unconstitutional stuff. We've got to push back as much as we can. And we will talk again next week. Thank you.
and to the republic for which it stands.
Have to hear it a second time here. hear the whole song this time. Okay, that is it for tonight. God bless America, and we will talk again next week. And, Joe, we are with you. We are praying for you, and we hope everything works out all right. Good night, everyone.
Take care.